This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches Media presents Diet Starts Tomorrow with hosts Sammy Sage.
I'm having a relationship with my pizza.
And Aileen Drexler.
I'm going to make you girls a hump day treat.
In a world where wellness looks perfect on Instagram.
Just doing my workouts. Tuesday's arms and back.
But feels anything but in real life.
Is butter a carb?
Yes.
This is the podcast exploring the emotional side of well-being.
I would be proud to partake of your pecan pie.
From people who understand the struggle.
I am on the third day of my cleanse diet.
Hello and welcome back to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jared.
You all know Jared. We are back. I think this is the last time you're going to be on before Aileen returns from maternity leave. So we are, you know.
I'm happy to help out and I'm happy to, you know, be that. You know, I like coming on with both of you, but this has been nice too. I'm happy to like keep the light aflame, so to speak.
Yes, yes. The flame alight. The light
flame alight, flame. Light of flame.
I think it could be either, yeah.
The torch of brewing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a different dynamic, like interviewing one-on-one. It's a totally just different vibe for me.
Hold on, sorry to interrupt, but is this the last episode before she comes back, or is this my last episode?
No, this is your last episode.
Okay.
This is Jared's last episode.
Okay.
But to the audience, the time is dwindling. The time is dwindling. Aileen is going to be back before you know it.
What has been has there been any takeaways from kind of talking these things out one-on-one with differing people other than, you know, you and Aileen have a dynamic. You kind of know if there's a subject, you kind of know which way she's going. You know which way you would normally go. You guys have a long-standing relationship, and that's a great thing, and that's why people tune in. But these episodes with differing people, what's been like kind of the big difference for you?
Honestly, I realized is that I prefer a one-on-one podcast. And the reason for that, yes. And I also feel that way when she's on the podcast. Like I prefer to do it just with her than to usually have a guest. I just find it like easier to go like ping-ponging back and forth.
Totally.
Whenever I can, I feel like, you know, I now like a one-on-one interview with a guest, especially if it's a guest that like I know really well and like I have a relationship with them from following, because then it's like, okay, I know like exactly what I want to get out of this person.
Totally.
Versus like a two-person interview, which can, you know, obviously that can be great and have its own like amazing dynamics too. But, you know, I think just for me, I find it easier to like take cues when I'm one-on-one with someone.
Two-person interview is a lot of, and it can be good too, but there, unless you, well, for you and Aileen, I'm sure it's easier, but if you're with someone that you don't know that well and it's like three different people, it's a lot of like you, someone holding the door and being like, no, you go first. No, you go first. There's so much time that's not spent doing what you want to do, you know, like on other things. There's apologies that could just not be there.
Totally. Also, when I converse one-on-one, I always think about how basically like I have to only grapple with myself which direction I'm going to take the conversation in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because when someone talks for a while, you're like, oh, I could like grab onto that, or I could grab onto like this other thing they said. But when you are interviewing with someone, you're figuring that out for yourself and with the other person. Sure. And then it's
and
like
sometimes you have to leave something.
Right. And then it's like, what is the most efficient way to get everything we want out of this conversation? Hard. Sometimes Aileen and I will text on the side. Honestly, we'll like I message on the side, like you go next or like say this, you know.
The beauty of Zoom. Like you couldn't do that during when it's like in person.
Right. So we'll do that. We'll do that when we're like, that's how we'll try to figure things out. So, yeah. But then it's like you kind of get distracted because you're like typing to each other and yeah.
But like body, lifestyle, what the like the subject of this podcast, has there been any takeaways that you've been like that has changed just in the last, you know, kind of not having Aileen here?
I don't think it's like from not having her here. I think it's more just from like time passing and like me having my own path. I don't know if it would have been different if she were here, like if I'm just sort of like on my own journey and, you know, is she – it's interesting because, you know, she's going to come back and she's yeah. obviously coming from this huge transition. And I, you know, there's obviously – that completely changes your perspective on all things body related. Totally. So I wonder – you know, bringing that new perspective into the show, I think will be really interesting. Obviously, we have a lot of moms who listen. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's like, I don't know if I like had any particular breakthroughs just because she wasn't here. I think it's more just like life went on, you know?
No, I get it. I'm interested. I do agree. It's going to be, it'll change the dynamic and it'll change the conversations for sure. Like, she's coming back, and I'm sure that first episode is you kind of interviewing her just to figure out what, you know, how yeah. does it feel? What's going on body-wise? Like, what a, you know, like, a, what a roller coaster, I would imagine.
Right. It is a roller coaster. It's also, like, really hard for me to take myself out of it, and I'll give you an update about why, is that I literally just scheduled, like an egg freezing. Or like embryo freezing. And I'm pretty sure the dates of it are like a little bit nebulous because it depends on like your cycle and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think that I will likely be in the midst of that when she's returning from maternity leave. So we'll probably be – I actually think we will be recording our first episode of her being back while I am doing that. And I don't – and that it fell that way because I needed to do it. Like the clinic basically like closes for Christmas. So you can't start any new like cycles past a certain point. So I have to start it the day after Jordana's wedding.
Oh, okay. I don't even know. See, I don't even know what the, like you're talking to someone who has like no idea. Like, and I, listen, I'm okay with that. And I just want to let the audience know I am a stupid idiot.
It's a 2 week thing. It's okay. Like a 2 week, you inject yourself with hormones, your stomach gets large. So I'm looking forward to seeing what I'll look like pregnant.
like to me, like I, like you were like, I have to freeze my eggs. And I literally imagined like a carton of eggs going in a freezer. Like I, like this is like Looney Tunes thoughts that I'm having. And I know, cause I, you know, it's just so I'm laughing at how stupid I am. You know,
well, you're not stupid. I should have known better because I was listening to you up on my walk yesterday and you were talking about how like the moms next to you are your peers and how,
yeah, it's so weird.
True. But the do you like want to be one of those mom, you know, you're, you know. Do you feel any desire to be in that phase?
A little bit. I see my friends in the phase of like there is a, I think if we're talking pandemic dating, also your body, I think I'm not going to speak for other people. I'll speak for myself. I'm definitely in touch with my age more than I was 2 years ago, but that also could be just being 36. I'm definitely in touch with like the passage of time and like, you know, I never really thought of like, and this is very male, I think. I never really thought of like, well, if I get married at 30, I can't have the kids until 32. Like, I've never done that math of like what, you know, the starting thing that I think women do from like 21. You know, like if I don't get married at 24, then.
I'll be honest, I was not a mather until like very recently where I'm like, oh, like if I wanna have certain age kids by this age, that means, well, that's even why I'm doing this egg freezing at this time that I'm doing it. Like I'm trying to fit it in between, you know, shit that I have going on. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. And time keeps moving. And like, I don't
know,
like
wild.
Time is wild. And pandemic made time a little bit more wild. Like I was just thinking like, we're almost like we get to March and it's 2 years since the start of that. Like you go 2 years. Like I don't know. And I, you know, as you get older, the frame becomes different. Like, you know, 10% of 30 is different than 10% of 20. So like, you know, how you look at a day and how long a day is and how long a week is, that's why you start going, man, time flies as you get older. So
yeah.
The You Up conversation was that there were these women that are next to me and it's like a group of moms and they're talking about mom shit. And I have no idea. And like, we're the same age. At one point, we were all talking about like finals and spring break, and they have moved on to like other topics. And I'm sitting here being like, yeah, I have no idea what they even like. We talk about two different things.
Like, what,
you know,
the fuck is a snoo? Yeah.
A you snoo? Don't even know. What the hell? Yeah, I have no idea.
It's a baby thing. All the baby, okay. Like the baby brands are like these.
I know the giraffe is a big deal. That giraffe thing. I think that was the last baby
the
thing
nanite?
That I knew.
I don't even know what a giraffe thing is.
Maybe I'm even beyond that.
I don't even know.
I'm already losing it. Yeah.
Speaking to that point, because I do feel like you've maintained like more of a sense of normalcy than a lot of people during the pandemic. Like you've maintained your health. You've, you know, kept working out. You've been traveling to do shows and stuff.
Yeah.
And what I've really struggled with the pandemic is that like I don't have that normalcy in my life. And I'm just sort of every day to – I have to make myself do things. I have to really push myself because life takes the default now for me is in the apartment. Whereas before it used to be like out of the apartment, well, that's where I did work. That's where I had my appointments. That's where I socialized. And now my default is inside and then I leave for like special occasions, you know? So, but you, I feel like still, you know, have that outdoor oriented.
It's funny that you say that because, you know, being a comedian, my life was already kind of a pandemic lifestyle anyways, you know, where it was like, you know, I had to like kind of create my own schedule. Like if anyone is someone that worked from home before the pandemic, you were like, okay, this is kind of business as usual. And then, you know, shows being gone, like it allowed me to be healthier, I think, because I wasn't like, You got to go to bed at some point, you know, like it's just like that's what it is. I think now coming back, I'm not like I was going to say this to you to start off. Like I've been talking about like how I feel like I'm on a good road. And the last couple of weeks, I was like really feeling like I'm on a bad road. Like, I, you know, when you know you're on the precipice of like really letting it all go, I really think I'm on that precipice right now. And a lot of that has to do with like the world coming back plus the pandemic stuff I was doing, like. I think it also like leads back to alcohol. Like I'm drinking and, you know, when you drink, it makes everything else a rush and it makes you feel like I don't have the time to do anything else. And then you get mad, you start making difference. Like, I've talked on this podcast a lot about drunk eating and, you know,
just
then
your
you start
whole
drunk-
body slows down
everything. And, you know, I've been able, the pandemic almost like helped me because it made me like not do things. Like I couldn't do shows every night. I could do them on the weekends. So like my weeks were like a little bit less full, but like I could allow myself to like go to bed at 10 o'clock, you know, like,
right.
And I think now that I'm doing shows every night and then traveling on weekends again, and then podcasts during the day, it's like, I kind of have to figure out a way to readjust. And I feel myself in the space that you're talking about where it's like, I got to figure this thing out, you know, like pandemic, there wasn't much for me to figure out. It was just like workout, podcast, go to bed, maybe travel for a weekend, maybe not. And now it's like a whole thing. So I understand, I feel you on the, like, how am I going to work this shit out? Like even last night, I didn't do shows. It was Sunday night, but I still drank. And it's like,
right.
I drank more than I wanted to. And it was supposed to be this chill night and chill night. You know,
but then it's like, that was fun. You know, like
I had a good time, but like, well, then I start doing this thing. And I think like, this is where, you know, being single and doing this comes in. It's like, how much fun did I have? You know,
I don't know how much fun at your peak, how fun was the fun from a 1 to a 10?
A 7.
That's very fun. Think about that. That was time you were in real life. You were not on your phone. I assume you were with other people, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I guess the 7 gets ruined by like you know, I was out last night with, you know, with someone just having a good time. And then afterwards I was like, I'll have one more drink on my own. And it's like, why did I have to do that? Like, someone
did you enjoy, like, what would you rate the drink?
The drink on your own was on my own.
Did you get back and you had the drink and you were like, ah, this drink is glorious? Just like a self-loathing, I need to just put myself to bed kind of drink?
It was like a, let me sit at the bar and decompress.
Okay, so
take all the hours that I didn't look at my phone and look at my phone and kind of have a drink. And
so
like,
it was a 10. And,
yeah, right. It is. That, but it becomes, I don't know, I guess I don't think of things that way. I came home and ate a bunch of Chinese food, and I'm like, I only ate the Chinese food because I did the extra drink. You know, like I you get down that road where you like, and I think this is the problem with alcohol and with like eating when you're drunk is like, it doesn't even allow you to look back and go, that was a nice drink. You know, you besmirch the drink because the food ruined the drink. You know what I mean? Like, and you wake up and you go, why the fuck did I drink? Because then I ate the food. You know, it's all attached.
It is. But, like, something that I would say is that, yes, you got yourself, like, off track. But maybe it helps to not beat yourself up to think about, like, what did I actually get out of this that was good? So that way it's not just all looking upon the drink as like, oh, fuck me, I had the drink. Then it's like, no, I got to decompress. And then maybe over time you wouldn't feel this like all or nothing need to like ruin those moments for yourself.
I agree with you. I think I do beat myself up a lot with this stuff. And I do think like it's I'm hard on myself. I think that's the product of like also like not having like, I think like the world that I live has no promotions, no like. Like, I woke up and I was like, you know what? I'm staying in bed till 10. That was my thing this morning. I'm going to stay in bed till 10. And the whole time I'm staying in bed till 10, I'm like, Jared, what the fuck are you doing? It's Monday. But then you got to have to go, you worked all weekend. you have to constantly remind yourself, like, you're doing okay.
Honey. Right.
You know, like, that, you constantly have to do that.
Well, I also think this, like, no division between work and play because it's all on the phone. Makes you feel like you're not actually getting anything done and like you're always fucking around when actually like a lot of what you're doing on your phone is work or facilitating future work.
Yes.
So there's,
well, the separation is I think I need a little bit more separation is probably the thought that I'm like, you know, I'm in Monday, I got to fix this house mode, you know, like I'm in like, I, you know, right. And then I get to Friday and I'm going to Buffalo and I'm like, you know, go out after the show. You know, you got to have a buffalo wing, you know?
Right.
Like, it's like,
well, I don't know. Your life is full of like really fun moments. And like, you know, that's great. Like, would you trade those in to like be this like perfectly regimented, mindful person who's like, I only drink mindfully. And then I always go to bed and then I do my 17-step skincare routine and I always, you know.
I definitely wouldn't be me. Like, I definitely wouldn't be able
to.
No. I wouldn't be able to come on.
That's what I grapple with.
What's that? Yeah.
That's what I grapple with. Like, it's like, I'm just like, that's not fucking me. Like, maybe I can get closer to it, but I'm just not that person. Like, I'm an indulgent person who likes to enjoy her food and her drinks and, like, lie down, you know? So,
well, you know, it's like, it's, and this is kind of what I've, during my health journey, so to speak, is coming to terms with when am I indulging and when am I just going, when am I off the rails? The difference between indulging and off the rails is like, I know it. Like yesterday, okay? I got back. So this weekend I was in, where the fuck was it? Toledo, Ohio, okay? I was in Toledo, Ohio. Literally a place I never thought I'd ever say I was in Toledo, Ohio in my life. And I was there and the shows were a blast. I met a couple of Diet Starts Tomorrow listeners there. Everyone like was so nice and the shows were great. You know, we had some heckling moments that became fun, which is what a live show is all about. And, you know, great time. And then I went out afterwards. There was like a Bar Louie. It's like it was in an area that was like a mall area. Like it was in Perrysburg, which is outside of Toledo. So it was in Perrysburg. I do probably 10 to 15 minutes on stage out of a hour set about eating, food, weight. And I could do a half hour if I wanted to. So what I end up doing is I'll do 10 minutes of it. If they're into it, I'll go to 20 minutes, 15 minutes. If they're really into it, I'll get to 30. I never get to 30. So there's a point where people go, enough. You know, like you can feel it.
Right. They're like, we get it. Yeah.
Yeah, we get it. You fucking hate yourself. So it's like, but I, you know, sometimes a crowd loves it and that's okay. But like, it's all about, I truly like talking about body and weight stuff on stage. And I do think like, it's about connecting. It's not about feeling sad. And most of the time people get it, but enough's enough. I do understand. So, but a lot of it is about lately. And this, I told the story on Back for Seconds. About McDonald's. Going to the McDonald's. So I tell that story on stage now. So there's a huge chunk about how I'm addicted to eating at night. And so now that's because, so it's funny because like after the show, there's like a Bar Louie nearby, which is like, you know, fun bar with like, I would compare it closer to a Cheesecake Factory than a, than anything else. They have all the good appetizers.
Long menu.
Long menu, great appetizers. Like, they got the nachos with like something fun on it. They got different types of wings and like
good portions.
They also have like the boneless wings, great portions. They have a pretzel that hangs off of the hook. You know, like you know all the good stuff.
Oh, I'm such a sucker.
Oh, I'm like, but also I'm the same way. I'm like, I am in, and so yeah. I go to the Bar Louie afterwards, and there's people from the show. We start having drinks and we're having a nice time, and it's like a constant battle. Like, I was like, I can't order the food. There's so much shame involved. Like, I was like, I want to just order, like, a ton of stuff and, like, say to everyone that I'm with, like, all the people that were at the show, I'm like, dig in. Like, you guys are all nice people. Eat as much as you want. And right. I'm like, I can't do that after I spent 10 minutes talking about how I'm trying not to late night eat. It's my addiction. And then I'm finally like...
Right, and it clearly was hanging in the air because they had seen your show and you're in a restaurant and it's, like, eating time.
Is he going to do it or is he a normal person? And he was like just joking around about it. So I start drinking. We're all having vodka, sodas, whatever. And we're like, but slowly I'm like, let me look at the menu. And then
I'm always that person. I'm like, all right, we're looking at the menu. Meanwhile, I like already know exactly what I want. I want fries. I want chicken tenders. I want some sort of vegetable. Yes. And I'm going to be like, are you all down to split? Blah, blah, blah.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like, I picked out the menu. I know what we're having.
Yeah, this big song and dance. Let me read through. You know, like, and so I get the menu and I'm like, oh, and you're right. Sometimes my first look is to the vegetable thing. Let me find something that's like an in-between. You know what I mean?
There's like, vegetables that are like good. And like, honestly, like when you have a basket of fried shit, a Caesar salad is like hits the spot. It's crunchy. It's cold.
But the problem is we're hanging at a bar. So I'm looking for a...
Shishito peppers.
That would help. Shishito? What did you call them?
Shishito.
I thought it was shishito.
You might be right. Let me Google it. Shishito.
Shishito?
No, you're right. It's shishito.
Shishito. Okay.
It's shishito. And I'm thinking of... Oh, I'm thinking of the makeup. Shishito.
I was like, the cicadas are back.
Shishito peppers.
Okay,
or like
so,
a Brussels sprout with some Parmesan.
But it's also 1 in the morning, 12:30. Like, you know, I'm looking for something like, I don't know what I'm even looking for, but I know what I'm going to get. So I get like legit everything. And it's like, now we're in this weird situation where I've just talked about eating on stage and late night eating. And then I'm like, you guys can have whatever you want. And they just know me from the show. Like, I'm sure they feel weird, like, eating my food.
Well,
I'm like,
but I honestly. Well, they went to your show. Didn't they buy tickets to see you?
Yes.
Or were they just like, there?
No, they bought tickets. And they were like, nice people that had fun at the show. So I was like, but I'm like, eat whatever you want. Like, I'm going to get a bunch, and you can eat whatever you want. And I think they're like, does he really want us to eat his fucking food? Like, and I'm like, but I'm like going at it.
You're like, this is just a vehicle for me to eat the food, damn it. Like, I don't care if you eat it, but you please do, because then I'll look embarrassed.
And then I'll eat less and I'll look more. But then
like,
they just
it'll look
didn't.
More like we actually shared it.
Yes. But then they just didn't. And I'm just like sitting there eating. And I felt like a fool, you know? So it's like,
yeah.
And then I go, and then like we finish and like I walk back to the hotel and then like, two of the people were staying at the same hotel as me. And like, we're all like, we go to the pantry. I'm like, I'm going to grab a couple waters. And then I go up to my room. Yeah. Healthy. And we didn't eat anything. I go up to the room and I say goodbye to them. And then I get into my room and I go, I can go back downstairs. And I sneak back downstairs and get more chips. And I'm like, what if they saw me? What if they were like, oh, we can't. You still eating?
Look, you couldn't not done be that yet? Fun. You couldn't do 30 minutes on stage solo about this if you didn't have this problem. Like, no, I know that you agree. Like want to be different, but like you like this is like would your life be fun? You know, you know what I mean? Like, I know it's torture, but eating is fun. Like,
here's what I wish was
okay.
Here's what I wish was different. But go ahead after this. But I just want here's the one thing I wish was different. I wish I just didn't do the chips. Like,
fine. Like, okay. Like,
that's the thing. Indulgence versus off the rails. Indulgence is, hey, everyone have some appetizers. I had some chicken fingers. What are you going to do? Off the rails is
you
going back down.
You probably get to have everything you wanted because you were conscious about them watching what you're eating.
I was so conscious. I was so conscious.
Yeah, so you probably didn't actually get to be satisfied. Just saying.
I know that when I'm sober, I know what satisfied is. Like just now, I had breakfast. It was a cup. An egg white cup. I go to this one place, 11th Street Cafe. It's really kind of like a crunchy granola coffee place, but they're actually, everyone there has a house in Vermont. Like everyone's loaded, but they want to believe that they're not.
You
know, yeah. They want to believe they get it, but they don't. Right. And so I go to this coffee place every day.
We're socialists.
Yeah, exactly. And I get a egg white turkey onion cup.
Okay.
And,
I
always plug Alex Turoff. I've been working with
and
her.
And Forzag.
At Forzag, at Alex_Turov with an I, Alex with an I. So they've been a huge help to me, and I work out with Forzag, and I call into Alex, and she helps me out a lot, especially when I travel. But I kind of like checked out this egg situation with her, and she's like, that's a great portion. That's a great order. And now I kind of lean on it. And when I finish it, I'll go, the meal is over. Like, I ate my meal. Like, I don't feel full. Mm-hmm. I don't feel hungry.
Right.
I feel like a normal fucking person. And I know when I drink, I have no sense of what that normal feeling is.
Well, I think sobriety, like drinking definitely hurts that. Like, as someone who smokes weed, I'm fully aware of that. But also, I think as a dieter, there was always this, like, you have to save your calories for later. So it's easier to feel satisfied and not hungry and not ravenous in the earlier hours of the day. I know I could personally, like in theory, not eat till 3 or 4 p.m. some days.
Totally.
But after that, it is what's the thing you said last time? Like pretzel land or some shit? Like it's pretzel
it's a wash.
Land.
It's pretzel time.
Right. It's like
it's a pretzel shower. Yo, I get it. Like
I don't want any more food in the morning. Like an egg just does the trick. But when we're talking about 8 p.m., maybe I'm sober, maybe I'm not. Even if I am, it's like my whole relationship with food at that hour changes compared to like earlier in the day. And that I think is a side effect of dieting and always having to save your calories for the end of the day. And then you get to like finish your calories. And it's that glorious time.
The idea that I'll have one slice of cheese because I was good today, and then you go, you were good today, and then you have 10 slices of cheese. Like, that's like, you know, like that's
right.
What ends up
happening.
I know
protein.
That.
Protein.
Yeah. I know that all too well.
Yeah. It's like, it's just a vicious cycle. But I will tell you, people who like to engage in this, like, who don't like stare at the food and act awkward with it, like, those people are no fun. Like, or like people who are like, yeah, let's enjoy this and like, let's get food. Those are the fun people. Those are like, that's who I want to hang out with.
I did a joke on my last, I have an album that's out. If anyone's on Spotify, the whole beginning is about dieting and stuff like that. And I do a joke about you can't be healthy and fun. Like those two things rarely
and
like
the
intersect.
And the more healthy you are, the less fun you get. Like, I understand you can like generally be healthy and then you can like be fun. You know, you can be just like fun, you know, but it's the consistent. Yeah.
Well, the commitment. Even here, it's the commitment. It's also like someone will be like, well, I like a hike. Yeah, but do you go get like beers after the hike? Like, that's not like, you know, like, do you go like for a good lunch afterwards? Yeah. Do you overeat because you went on a good hike? Maybe. I'm saying like the more, do you go after the hike and go, kale, please? No, you don't do that. So like, again, there's levels of these things, you know, like I think like what the diet community, what the health community gets bogged down in is that it has to be my way, the way that's helped me, or it has to be your way, or it has to be this way. And it's like, I mean, this is the example I always bring on this podcast. It's like, we're all like mentally screwed up by this. Like all of us, like it's a psychological thing. It is not just diet and exercise. If it was as simple as that, we'd all be doing it. No, it's a mental blockage, and we all have different blockages. And so we're all trying to find our way around that block in our own way that lets us like live a happy life where we, you know, can live on every day and have, you know, relationships and jobs and all the other things that we need to have, you know?
Totally. And if you don't have this problem, then you have a different problem. But I will just say, if you are looking for a late night eating companion at Jordana's wedding, I'm your girl. I will always do like a post-drinks truffle fries or a mini pizza, whatever, chicken fingers.
I've never been more excited for a wedding. I gotta say, I've been telling Jordana how excited I am.
Such a great crew. Like peak crew. Like that's okay, all I good. Have to say.
I'm excited. I'm coming in blind. The only crew I know is you three. And you know, your significant others kind of. I'm excited. It is I'm excited to like, so on You Up, I already said that like I'm taking notes. We're having a like the fans, if you're a fan of the show, you're gonna love it. The post wedding show. Cause I'm gonna be you know, really getting in the weeds.
You will get to know all those people who post the 360-degree Instagram stories of every bachelorette you've ever watched us go on. You're going to be like, oh, I recognize you. You're that tag.
Like, you guys are all celebrities to me. Yeah.
It's like, oh, like we once had Nicole from our office, Pellegrino from our office, like list out our friends. I could do it to her friends too, actually, which is like the sad part.
It is interesting how like if you follow like a group, you get to know they're like your own version of a Housewives show.
Yeah, you know the tags that go with the group, and you're like, oh, they're this. It's creepy, but it's also like unavoidable. So don't pretend you can't do it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
To anyone else,
no, it's just reality. It's human.
This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
We have been all over in this conversation, but, you know, it is still vaguely related to our bodies. So
we're catching up.
We're catching up, exactly. And we're going to take the rest of the show. We're going to do some DMs. We have lots of questions. Most of them are sort of dating adjacent, which we have a dating guru here.
A true guru.
We have someone who dates here.
Yeah. A guy who dates. That's
a guy. We have a guy here.
Yeah.
He claims to be 10% away from the guy you're dating.
Well, I do believe that. I think any I believe answer that I generally give too. Is within 10%. I'm not going to be able to nail what you're dealing with, but I can give a very honest perspective that I hope doesn't make me sound horrible, because sometimes it does sound horrible because honesty is very tough to give.
It's true. Okay, so we're gonna go through these DMs. First question. I actually wondered about this a lot. Do men care about Spanx and shapewear? Like, is it weird to get naked and see them? Do you know what Spanx are? Do you know what shapewear is? Okay.
How long have I been doing stuff with Betches? Are you kidding
me? Right, obviously. Like, okay, yeah.
They have men's Spanx now. How would you feel if you saw... My brother actually just sent me... It was a men's Spanx, in a different brand, but it was... It was a shapewear to like make them look better in a t-shirt. And I actually thought, what would a woman feel if they saw a guy, if they got into bed with someone and the guy like kind of took that off? Because I would say for a woman, I would say I've never been in the position to see the Spanx kind of like in real IRL.
That's what I was going to ask. That's what I meant when I asked, you know what they are. Like, has a girl like undressed and they're on?
Maybe they have, and I haven't noticed. So I'm just being completely honest. Or I would assume, because when I saw the male Spanx, I was like, how would that work? How would I wear that under a t-shirt and then maybe hook up? And I'm like, I don't have a purse to put it in. Like, I could see if I was with a woman, she was like, I'm just going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. And then, like, she takes it off, and I don't know how the ease
you
of taking it off.
You could stuff it in
on.
The jeans pocket. It's a little hard to get off, I won't lie. Like, if you're wearing jeans, you have to take the jeans off and then take them off. Honestly, this is encouraging to hear, because you like it seems like you don't really notice, which is what people are asking.
We don't notice, and sometimes it's I think sometimes women rely on the stupidity of a man when it comes to their emotional intellect, and I think that's a mistake. I think you should rely on the stupidity on the man when it comes to like the physical stuff and like just like
yeah.
thoughts like these, because to me, I'm being totally honest with you. And if I saw it, I would go, like, a lot of times Spanx makes sense to me. It's like with a shapely dress, you know, like when I hear of Spanx being used, it's not like usually, and I'm not saying for everybody, and I just don't know, but it's not like for a t-shirt and jeans. Like, it's
no, you
for,
can. Some people do.
Okay, so maybe some people do, but I'm saying I've never noticed that. But the only time I've ever even taken notice to it is because it's being worn with a dress where it's like a part of feeling good in the dress. And I've always been like, yeah, of course, I would do that too if I had to wear like a dress that was like going to be like tough to wear the whole night, so...
Yeah, I think if you just kind of act normal about it and like they're like, I don't think most guys like really know the full gamut of like female undergarments. So just like it's another undergarment.
So I guess when I saw the male Spanx, I was like, when would I use it? Okay. I would use it
on stage
or in a suit, because I want to like look good in a suit. And I always have issues with like my shirt coming untucked and things like that. And I want to fit well into a suit. I don't think I would wear it like in a situation otherwise. So
I would probably not either. Like I would wear them on stage or in a dress or depending on like what I was wearing, but probably never with t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, I just and also remember, like, to remind people how stupid, like, how like men kind of think. I thought of eggs being put in a freezer when I heard freezing eggs. So like, so like, how much again, could I know about the Spanx?
It's true. Okay, along those lines. Spanx are obviously used to hide the stomach. Do you guys actually care about the size of a woman's stomach? Do you notice?
I mean, I think like this is so much more in the weeds than a guy gets. Like did we talk about this last time where I'm like, men are like an automatic transition, like turn the car on and go, you know, like it's like, so anything when it comes to like noticing your body or like no one's going to notice the things in your body as much as you, first of all. And then second of all, like the guy is on the, I don't think guys go on dates with women they're attracted to. Trust that. Like guys, no guy is on a date. And this is kind of like, I got a question like this yesterday where a woman was like, I wasn't attracted to him, but he's a nice guy. Should I go on another date? And I'm like, I don't know. Like you can do whatever you want. I really don't care.
That's why people subscribe to Patreon.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, you want to be answered? You got to pay. No, I was like, just understand the guy does think you're hot. The guy you went on a date with that you're not sure about, he went because he thinks you're hot. He's trying to see if you're cool as well. And cool, again, that's not to say cool is not
not a popular girl. Not like cool, not like high school version of cool.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying are you a match with him personality wise? He's trying to, and it's like you're on the date going, I think he's cool, but I don't know if I'd fuck him. He's going on the date going, I would fuck her. I'm not sure if she's cool. And then so right. If you think of it from that perspective, then you should be wildly confident on your date because that guy thinks you're so hot that he left the house. And that is a good thing. So the idea that you get into bed with him and he's like, that stomach, like that's not how he's thinking. He's right. Going, I'm with the hot chick in bed. You know, again, this is like when it comes to like, again, women give men no emotional intellect and then they give them all the physical intellect in the world. And it should be flip-flopped. Like I just.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was kind of like drilled into us that like attraction is all that matters for men. And if you like look hot, like you have to look hot first and then all of your other qualities get evaluated. And I do think that dating apps sort of like reinforce that.
Totally. But I also don't think men are given credit. And we've done this to ourselves, like, because we were in middle school, like being gross assholes. But we're not given credit for like, we like a lot of things, you know, like we like a lot of, I always say this on the U Up and it's become redundant now because I say it so much, but I truly do believe it. Like go on a porn website, there's different categories. All of those categories exist because so many men search them that they just were like, here's a hyperlink. Let's make it easy on them. So,
right.
So many men agree that this, so you are one of those categories and every category exists. So like,
right.
If you want to make something kind of icky more positive, you could be like, this guy's here because he's into what I'm selling.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly, it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more.
One should ask themselves, have I ever been attracted to something that is not like conventionally attractive, like that is not perfect by measures, like it's not asymmetric, you know, it's not perfectly symmetrical. Like you've been attracted to things that are not perfect. So imagine that even while you are not perfect and nobody is, someone can be attracted to you.
I like curvy women. And every time I see, it's funny because like on my Explore page, I'll end up like seeing a bunch of like plus size models, and I'll like go to their pages and like I'll see a woman that I think is hot and I'll go look at her page, and then I'll see like you know how you could see like a friend of yours who has liked it,
yeah,
you know, like yeah, the only, so you see the one name of the friend, and, yeah, and it's always funny to me. I see like guys, I'm like, oh, he thinks she's hot too, like this is his type too, you know, like it's like always interesting to me. And it's like,
yeah,
and I see it from every type of guy. So like this question where it's like, do guys notice your stomach? I mean, no, you know, like I like it's like they notice you as a whole and they're into you. But if even if they're getting to the point where they're in bed with you, like they've already thought this through, like it's not, there isn't like right. I got to go. Like, and listen, this isn't to say these things don't happen. I'm not saying like there's like always extreme cases. Someone can always point to somebody who is really a messed up piece of shit that acts like a piece of shit. And you can't avoid that. That's life. But I'm saying generally.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you on that. I mean, someone asked, do guys worry what their friends will think if they date someone like not small? Or there's other questions like, do men care as much as we think about being about their partner being bigger? And I will say this as someone in my own relationship who has in the beginning of our relationship, I was like, when I was like really thin, I was kind of like obby size, but now I'm much bigger than him. And like, he does not, I guess it, after so many times, it has finally registered that it's true that he doesn't care. Mm. And like, I know women like blame themselves because even if men like a lot of different things, it's been drilled into us by like societal messaging that we have to look like this list of features. So I think women blame their looks when actually it's just like not vibing for another reason. Like you cannot, two very good looking people cannot vibe. And
it's not the match. But yeah. And also maybe it's that person's not looking for more, you know, like, and it has nothing to do with that. Like, and if anything, like other men, you don't really hear from in that way. Like I have no friend of mine would be like, I've actually heard more from other women than than men when it comes to like people's looks. Like if I'm being
like totally like what honest. Do you mean,
like if you're like with someone who's like curvier, like you'll get, I've had other women make comments.
Interesting. Not probably men. Because my guess again goes back to the societal messaging. Like even though men have lots of different tastes, we are taught that they actually only have like two types, and that's like a blonde Victoria's Secret model or a brunette Victoria's Secret model. Yeah, so you have to be one of those. And if you're not, then like, why would a guy want to date you?
It's crazy.
And if you're single, and as a woman, if you're single and you're like, you were very attractive. You're probably like, why is this so hard for me?
Yeah. I again, like, this is societal stuff that, like, and I'm not trying to make men look like saints here. I'm just trying to make them more normal. Like, I'm just like, it's like, I'm trying to, like, say that it's not, again, like what you just said, like, it's not a two-lane road. It's like, it's just very, it's way more gray. It's way more like, also, like, it's, you know, it's hard to not include your body and stuff. Like, listen, when I go on a date, if I don't feel good about myself, it's going to be a bad day, you know? Like, it's,
right.
So that works into it too, where it's like, maybe, you know, if you're wondering these things, it's more that you're just not comfortable on the date to begin with. It doesn't matter who was there.
Right. Or not comfortable in your body, or you're, you know, honestly, like, people, like you were saying, like, there are instances where men will mistreat a woman and maybe make a comment about her looks. Someone asked, I don't know how to stop taking "you have such a pretty face" as an insult to the rest of my body. And
well, that is a, without it is an giving, insult.
Is it?
It's just annoying. Like, why even say, what, like, why not just,
it's
like
a compliment.
It's a compliment, but I can understand why they're annoyed by that. Like,
to me, I read that and I'm like, I don't know how to tell you that you have a lot of it. Like, that's an insecurity. If you take a compliment about your face as an insult about your body, then that's about, you're filling in what your feelings about your body.
Listen, it's totally an insecurity. Everyone has insecurities, but I have people do shit like that all the time. Like, where it's like, where you can tell they're saying things to just say things, and it's not like,
listen, what's an example? That's not from your parents.
If I go on stage and someone's like, it was a lot of energy. Like, no one went on stage.
Right.
You have good energy. No one went on stage for good energy. Or if someone says,
that's
I
a
came
compliment.
To, no, I. You go on the comedy club stage, and to me, if they said I have good energy, they didn't think I was funny. Like,
What if they thought you were funny? What if they thought you were funny, and then the additional thing that attracts them to you is your good energy?
But that's a different type of compliment. Like, to me, these are so easy to communicate that I can't understand why someone wouldn't communicate it. So it's like, for that person who was able to go, you have such a pretty face, why did they have the ability to be like, hey, I know this is like, I don't want to say like, you're beautiful in general, but your face, gorgeous. Like, you know, like, there's a way to say things. If I know how to say them,
we also don't know who said this to her. Like,
totally. But to me, this is an asshole. Like, you have such a pretty face. It's just like, it's so drummed up. Do you know what I mean? If someone came to my show and they go, we just wanted to support. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Thanks. Like, yeah. You know, like, I'm good. I'm not like begging people. Yeah. You can come and I'm giving you, like, I do believe, like, I'm giving you a good show. So you know, you either got one or you didn't. And that's okay. But you're not doing me any favors, because there's something I am providing here in the way of a show. So to me, it's like, I do think everything happens for a reason, you know, like.
Well, you know what's interesting, as I'm hearing you explain how you interpret this? And what you sort of like project onto it. Like, you're thinking of, oh, this is similar to when someone says this to me. I'm like, I'll tell you where I'm coming from. Okay. I'm coming from someone who was always very insecure about her face. Mm. And so I only wanted to be told I had a pretty face. So when I read this, I'm like, oh, like, that's a great compliment. Like, tell me that.
Totally.
And, well, I wouldn't take it as an automatic insult. So you know, it's hard to tell who this person is, like,
but that's
who's saying
again,
it
why,
to her.
But again, that's why the person who said it is an asshole. Like, you know, like, the person who said it, like, it's just like, if you don't know the person, and like, the thing is, we don't know everybody. We don't know what people's insecurities are. We don't know that you would like a compliment on your face and she would like a compliment on her body. How would you know?
Right.
But also, like, why would they dive into this game anyways? Like, in the first place, like, why not just say you look beautiful tonight? Like, if you don't know the person, like, to get into the weeds on looks.
To refute that, you know how Jordana's always like, I want a specific compliment. What looks beautiful? Mm.
Well, Jordana wants that from her fiance.
Maybe this is from a guy that this girl's dating, like, or guys who she dates.
Oh, well, if that, I don't know. I think you got to get to know someone before you can,
right?
You know, like, get specific. I don't know. Like, I don't know. I would rather live in a world with, like, with nobody commenting. Like, I just know, like, I talk about this on stage sometimes where it's like, you know, if you talk about your weight, someone will be like, well, you're not fat. Like, when someone says that, it's so annoying because it's like, now you've created a debate out of nowhere.
Right.
Like someone else in the room, like I always think of the other person in the room being like, well, you know, they could lose a few. You know, like it's like, and it's like whenever people do those definitive statements, they're trying to like scream insecurities out of you almost. They're like to refute, like, and it's like, who even said I was fat? You know, like I'm talking about having to lose a few pounds, you know, like, you know,
right.
It just like it reveals something about these people. I don't know. Maybe I understand where the sensitivity comes from for this person.
I think everyone sort of has like their own sensitivities, and it is like a context question.
Mm-hmm.
We have two of a similar question. One person gained 30 pounds from a medical issue. One person has a recent breakup and won't allow herself to get back on the apps until she loses 10 pounds. They're both asking, like, should I wait to date until I lose this new weight?
Well, you should wait until you're comfortable being on a date. I don't think you should wait until you lose. Putting the number on it is just not fair to yourself. Maybe this is, you know, who you are now. Like, maybe, you know, life isn't really about getting 30 pounds lighter. Maybe life is about getting healthier. Maybe life is about, maybe you become comfortable in this way. Maybe, you know, I don't know what happens, but I can say, look, let me give an example. Last night I went on a date, okay? And before the date, I got dressed. I put on these pants. The pants fit pretty good. I was cool with them. But they were a little tighter, a little snugger. But to go with them, I kind of felt like I needed a tighter, snugger shirt. I couldn't wear, I hate having a billowing shirt with a tighter pant. I don't want to look like a fucking, you know, stick figure with a box on top. So two little twig
you and your
legs.
Shirt problems. Like, you do need to create a shirt brand. I hope you realize this.
Well, it's I'm an XL frame with a large length. But I'll move on. So I was like really upset. I was like, I didn't even want to go. I put on a shirt that went with it. It just didn't look right. It was too tight. The top was not matching with the bottom. Then I put on my other, so I took off the pants. I put on other jeans. I put on a t-shirt. I'm actually wearing it right now. A white t-shirt, which I would never really wear, but the white t-shirt felt nice, and it was like, but it was it was a little bit bigger. It couldn't have been worn with the pants because it would have looked a little ridiculous. It could be worn with these jeans that were a little bit looser, a little bit less, you know, form-fitting. Trendier. They were both trendy. I actually felt good about going on the date. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah,
this is kind of my point. Like, maybe they go and like get a new outfit that makes them feel great. You know, maybe they go and like, and I'm not, maybe they take out some clothes from the back of the closet that maybe were a little bigger in the past and that you didn't really feel good in, that you might feel better in now. I'm saying create the atmosphere of a good date and you'll have a good time. Like, I understand where they're coming from. And also, if you can't do that, then don't wait till you go shopping and feel good about something. Like, I really do think you look how you feel and it all relates.
I completely agree with that. Like, waiting for the number to hit download on the app is just like, is not, I think that you're ultimately not even just shooting yourself in the foot with dating. I think you're sort of shooting yourself in the foot with accepting yourself in other ways. Cause all that time that you're like, I can't date. Like, think about having that voice in your head all the time. Like, that's not a great mindset to be in.
I mean, how bad of a Monday is that? I got to lose 30 pounds. And I can't even date while I'm doing it. Like, it's like, right. What a mountain you've created for yourself. Maybe it's like...
Well, maybe for some people it's like an out. It's like, I don't have to put myself out there until this, you know, and it's an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly reasonable excuse. I've done that to myself too. And I don't think, like, I just think, like, a good solution would be feeling... And maybe taking some new pictures and feeling like... I think another thing that people get in their head is, I don't look like the app. Well, let's... Or don't look like my profile. And it's like, you probably look more for like your profile than you're like giving yourself credit for. But also, let's go do a photo shoot day. Let's go feel good about the pictures. I think the more confident you are in... You know, again, this goes back to like knowing you're on a date with someone that you know is attracted to you. Like they're only there. Like people don't... I do believe in like economics, and I think there's an economics to like, you know, to like people only do things when it's in their best interest, and someone goes on their date because they, you know, they're taking up their time because they believe being on a date with you is in their best interest. So if your profile, like if you were like, that's me, I look great, I look like fun and single and flirty, then you're going to be even more happy on the date.
Also, I do think that there's so much emphasis on pictures, like these still images, and the initial match can happen through pictures, like through seeing a picture of an attractive person. But I actually think true attraction happens in person, like the back and forth, the chemistry, the way that person moves. Like you can't capture the way someone moves, and if you find that attractive, like in a picture, like they might, this really hot guy might walk really fucking weird and you might just be like, I can't with that walk. Like, you know, like there's certain things that you can't, you know, would people think Pete Davidson is like, if you had a swipe on guys, which one is going to get to date Kim Kardashian? Like you probably wouldn't swipe that Pete Davidson could.
People are so obsessed with Pete. Just the obsession with how he gets certain women amongst women.
He's obviously very charming in person, like clearly.
We started together, so I know Pete. He's a good guy. And yes, he's a charming dude. And he's got height. He is good looking. I don't understand. I really do. He's like a lot of bad boy to him. Like he's funny.
But he doesn't
funny
look like Brad Pitt. You know, he doesn't look like your classic handsome man. Like he has
I think if Pete played an instrument, people would get it more.
Totally.
So
yes,
but Pete, it looks like a rock star. Like if you see him in person. So like, and he always has had that look, but it's like over time, you know, now he's on SNL, he's known. Also, women love
men who other women have like, yeah, exactly. Hot women have like, loved. Yes.
He's been approved by Ariana Grande. So like that is like a thing in itself to other women. So I do understand, like...
It's like bidding up the price of a house. It's like, because the bid was really high.
Yeah.
Like, you can get even more high bids.
And Pete is super funny and you know, fun to be around. So I understand. I understand it, but it's so funny to me how people are like, and he's with Kim Kardashian now! And people go crazy. It's like hilarious.
It is very funny. Okay, I have one brief topic. I know we're at like an hour, but there is one topic I do want to like address because I think it's really important. Mm-hmm. And it is the question of like how to bring the news of your disordered eating or your eating disorder or whatever like weird idiosyncratic thing you have that you're embarrassed about or self-conscious about, whatever it is. How do you bring that up in a new relationship or a budding relationship or like early dating or whatever, you know, whatever you need to bring it up?
I was thinking about this today because I, you know, we're taping this Monday and, you know, again, I'm guilty of like the, you know, Monday I got to fix everything in my life and then Friday forgetting about everything I need to fix. So I'm very guilty of that. But I was thinking today about like, I think it's like I'm thinking for myself. Okay. And I'm speaking to myself right now because I obviously have disordered eating. Like if anyone has heard me on this show, I mean, this conversation today should tell everyone, of course I do. I'm sitting there worried about ordering apps at a bar and then sneaking downstairs and getting more chips. Okay. When I was in a relationship, I was not, I don't know. It's interesting that I, like, when I was in a relationship, I was still drinking and eating and having these issues, and it was coming out in other ways. And then, like, whereas, like, going to dinner and, like, eating so much at dinner, even with my partner, that I was, like, just so I didn't, so that I wouldn't be hungry later in the night. And getting food behind their back, like, going and getting food and then coming home, like, doing things like that. Like, I was doing the things, and now that I'm single, I'm doing these things, but, like, without worry of being watched. So they're happening, you know, they're happening more freely. So I'm like, it's interesting that, like, and I hope I'm not rambling at all, but it is interesting that I was still late night eating in the relationship. I'm still doing it now out of and single. And there's an element of, like, I have to start figuring out how to fix it on my own. A relationship won't fix it. And
oh, never.
I don't think that's, yeah. And I don't think that's, like, new advice, but I'm like, I think, like, so it's like a combination, like I have to start being better on my own, because, like, and I do have this thought of, like, well, you're in a relationship and then you'll be better because you won't be going out as much and you won't be drinking as much and you won't be eating as much, but you do it. You find other ways to do it, and it's not going to get fixed by, because, you know, you two decide to go to bed at the same time. Like,
my question is now, like, what if a girl, let's say you didn't have this, like, you didn't understand this, let's say. How would you feel if the girl you were dating came and described the problems you have to you? Like, how would you take that? Or, like, what would your reaction to that be? And you did, in this scenario, you don't have the problems, but, like,
it's hard to think of it with me not having the problem. Understanding guy. I guess I wouldn't understand what I was getting involved with. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think a woman understands what she's getting involved with me. Like, I think she does. Like, I don't think, like, I reveal it in a funny, fun way. Like, I'm like, yeah, I go out and drink. Sometimes I eat till I shit myself. You know, like, ah, ha, 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 ha. And it's like, you know, like.
Well, what would be the best way for a girl to reveal that to you? Like, how would you, what would make you not be like, this is fucking weird, you know? Not that it is weird.
It's not about being weird. It's about, like, I think if a woman told me, hey, like, I'm really trying to better myself at something, like, but I'm trying to think of how I would say it, and I would never say it that way. I'd be like, I would make a joke out of it.
You're
from
having to say it, because any woman you're dating is going to be familiar with your comedy. They're not going to be like, oh, I've never heard him
But when you make jokes about something, you don't assume it's, like, an actual issue.
No, I do.
You know, you do?
No one's able. Yeah. I mean, as someone who writes, I do, as a, like, someone who's, like, a writer, and we've done Betches, and we've, like, you know, been able to sort of satirize things. Like, I know that if someone can really be, like, super on point about something, that means they intimately understand it or have been, like, very close to it. Mm-hmm. They're not just making it, like, they're not just funny about this because, like, they randomly can observe something that they've never seen.
No,
personally.
I hear you.
Like, you wouldn't be able to talk about that if you didn't really spend, like, a lot of years worrying about it.
With a personal connection to it. I don't know. I'm in the scenario that you're talking about where it's like, I hear about this person. Like, I don't think... Like, I think when you're in a relationship, you go, love conquers all, and if we like each other, we'll figure our way through this. Like, I think, like, when it comes to, like, if you come on the date and you say, I have an eating disorder, that's different than, to me, than coming on the date and going, you know, I'm just working through this thing where I eat at night when I'm drunk, and it's, like, the worst, and,
well, what
you know
if,
what I mean?
What if the person says, like, I have been in eating disorder recovery for 2 years? Like, they had they had to go to an inpatient thing. Like, they had an eating diagnosed and were really treated. And someone said, like, I'm in recovery.
That's not a deal breaker to me. That's not, like, something I hear and I run away. I would hear that and I go, tell me more. Like, how are you doing now? I'm sorry to hear that you went through that. But I would also, like, you know, if I was hitting it off with them, like, I would assume that this is information someone gives when they're comfortable with the person. Like, that's the other thing. Like, not everyone deserves every piece of information about you. So, like, I don't think that this comes out on a first date if you're not comfortable with the person. I would assume this comes out when you go, I trust this person with this information. So I would assume that we're, like, farther along than just, hey, my name is Jared. Hey, my name is Sammy. Right. By the way, I'm in recovery. Like, I don't think... Yeah. Or you met, like, you met and the person's going through recovery, and that's fine too. I just think, like, you work up to some information. That's okay. I would just have more questions. I'd be like, how are you doing with it now? Like, what do you do? Like, what steps do you take? Like, is being on this date, like, is this okay? Like, is there any dates that you can't go on? Like, right. It would be more questions and curiosity, and like also knowing like, how, because I think if you have the ability, and this is an assumption, but if you have the ability to bring it up on a date, then you also are working on it, like,
totally. Yeah.
So I think, like, everyone has baggage. Everyone's holding on to luggage, and what's inside of it is different for everybody, but everyone has stuff, like, totally. Everyone has reveals and things they have to tell their partner. And I don't think, like, and also, like, what I would say to, like, if someone's out there dealing with these things, many, many men are dealing with these things too, with eating and body and dysphorias. And, I do these jokes for men and women, and I like doing it as a man because I think it can show people that, like, hey, even the most confident looking guy is dealing with body issues. So I think, like, if you're talking to someone about food and wanting to lose weight, like, listen, I'm out in the pier every day working out. It's men and women are working out. Everyone there is, it's all different flavors. So we have these.
It's a very popular place to work out.
Oh, I'm hanging. I love it. It's a scene. It's great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think honestly what you said, like, treat it sort of like any other big reveal. Like, maybe you have a family issue. Maybe you have like debt, or you have another, maybe you've had something in your history that you want to deal with, or another sort of like mental illness, whatever it is. Like, I think I agree with you that treating it like any of those things. And then if your partner or the person you're dating can be responsive back to you in a way that is understanding, then clearly that tells you about your compatibility also, not just like, is this guy accepting me?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's hard. It's just hard. Like, understand that, like, there's no right answer. There's no right time. Like, and someone's going to look at the, I think when people, we play Red Flag Deal Breaker on You Up, and that kind of, like, it's mostly for, it's for jokes. Like, the idea that someone, like, hears one thing and they're like, I'm out of here. That's not right. What it is.
You never just hear one thing. Like, there's always like a million things you're observing that you are liking in different degrees or not liking in different degrees. It's never like everything's a 10 and then this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's never.
So, yeah. But yeah, no, I think this has been a very, I hope, helpful episode. Jared is going to be back later in the week for our Dear DST episode. And Jared, tell us what shows you have coming up. Where can everyone find you other than the You Up Live show on December 8th?
Oh yeah. You Up Live on December 8th. Everyone needs to go to come to that show. It's an event. It is so much fun. We bring people on stage. We give dating app makeovers. We do deal reveals. We read people's texts and try to figure out what's going on. It's just, we play Red Flag Deal Breaker. We give out paddles and stuff. It's just such a fun night. So I'm going to be in Phoenix and Syracuse and St. Louis. And I have a lot more dates coming. But if you go to my website, jaredfried.com, you can get all the tickets, including the U Up Live. And also Mexico for Jordana's wedding. So that's
he's not performing though.
Yeah,
or performing.
I will be watching. It is it goes Mexico.
I kind of wish you had to give a toast.
Oh, no way. I am so happy to not, and I'm so excited to hit that dance floor. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited. So go to jaredfried.com. Tune into our Thursday episode and follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow. If you have any questions or non-scale wins, email dst@betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe, please. We would really appreciate it. And we're always with you.
Through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Stacey Wong and Sean Kilby. Social media by Sydney Rafe. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.